see. Oh, I only have one announcement this morning, and it's concerning our name tags. We are humans, and therefore there is human error every now and again. Not often, but every now and again. So if you haven't gotten your name tag, please be patient with us, because we have your names, and we will get them made. In the meantime, there are plenty of the little stick-on names in the baskets on the table. So grab one of those and use that today. So that's the only announcement I have. And then Jill, where are you? Jill is going to bless us with her story today.
Hi. I don't know if this is a story. It's my regular day. Try to be filled with a good attitude and encourage people. These are natural gifts I feel like I have received from the Lord. And I had car business to take care of one morning and walked into the rental car area that was full. Not full, but there were men only and me. And so it wasn't uncomfortable or anything, but when I went to go speak with the man who was checking me out, I started talking about something, and which led him to say something, and we had in common that our mothers had suffered a stroke and passed very suddenly, and it also turned out that our fathers had Alzheimer's. And this was a really quick conversation, but after he spoke about his mother, he also spoke about how around that time that she lost her mother, so it was very close together. And you don't know what to say, really, and it's right out there in front of all who would be listening. And so I just said, were these women, women of faith? And he took a deep breath and he said, yeah, they were. And then he said, I'm really glad you asked me that. So very simple. Had no intention when I walked into the rental car place of letting someone tell me a glimpse of their life like that. And then I proceeded to go to pick up my car at the car dealership and went to finance with this other man in this room, but the door was open. So we did our business, and at some point it came up ADD or ADHD, and I said, yeah, my youngest son. And then he told me he was, and then he proceeded to tell me that 15 years ago he'd been into meth for 2 years, and he told me his whole story, and he said to me, I can't believe I'm telling you this. And I'm thinking, well, you know, it seemed natural because I was accepting of what he was telling me, and I was very encouraged that he had kicked the habit, and the door was open. I just thought, that's weird. He may be getting into trouble, but he was telling me, and so I felt blessed. I felt blessed because when I go out, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to tell my story, and Jesus happens to be intertwined all in it. Little snippets of it if you want to hear it or if it comes up to be heard. But to have someone tell their story to me was really cool, especially a man. They don't talk about that stuff. And so it was very, again, encouraging, and it was simple and it came naturally. And I think all of you have that in you to just open your heart and not be afraid to ask a question because, well, I'm not filtered, and I think that's good because I might ask that hard question. And you know, again, the fact that he told me, I'm glad you asked me, might have offended someone else. So, I mean, we can always be offended, too, by the things we ask and say and when we encourage people to tell us. But, oh, well, right? We can handle that if we are snubbed in some way. So I encourage all of you to just be open, and God gives us opportunities all the time. They're there.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Jill. That is exactly what we're talking about. That in that particular case, two times in the same day, it wasn't even Jill telling her story, but there was something about her that was open enough to allow someone else to tell her their story, and she could receive it without judgment and just be there with them. So once again, ladies, this is just another example we're setting out there for you all to see how this does happen to all of us all the time, every day. And the more we're aware of it, the more we're going to be able to talk about it. So thank you so much, Jill. And also, real quick before I start, if your stuff is sitting at a empty spot at the table, can you just move your stuff onto the floor? When people come in late and they see the stuff, they just think that there's no place to sit. So that lets them see that there's a place to sit. Okay, here is our outline for today. Pretty straightforward. And so I'm going to start out asking you a question. Have you ever had to do something without the benefit of any training? You know, where someone just puts you in a situation and you're just like, you got to sink or swim. You just got to get in there and do it. Well, I think you probably have. I think all of us have. If you had some time, you'd probably come up with it. So what I want to start with this morning is a little story about my son, Trey. I have his permission to tell this, by the way. One Thanksgiving, we were down at my parents' ranch, and we were all sitting on the porch having a good time. And my dad wanted to shuffle the cars around because we had more people coming later in the day. So he turned to Trey and he said, "Hey, Trey, go move my pickup." Seems like a logical request. But at the time, Trey was 10 years old. I don't know what my dad was thinking. Anyway, so Trey says, "I don't know how." And my dad just looks at him and says, "Sure you do. Now go ahead and do it." So, being obedient to his grandfather, walks over, gets in the pickup truck, and immediately smashes into my brother's shiny, two-day-old black pickup truck. Well, you can imagine the commotion on the porch. But everyone kind of calmed down, and my dad says to Trey, "What did you do?" And Trey said, "Pops, I told you I didn't know what to do, but you told me to do it. So I just got in the car, and I did what I see people do." Well, what he knew from watching people was you get in, and you start it, and you move the shifter, and you step on the gas. At 10, he didn't know that there was a difference between drive and reverse. And so he put it in reverse. Well, fortunately, Trey wasn't hurt, and neither vehicles were hurt. And it's turned into one of those stories now that when we're all together, we laugh and we talk about. And so eventually, of course, as Trey got older, he went to driver's ed. He learned all the rules. He learned about a car, how to drive a car, got his driver's license, and, you know, so far, that's his one and only wreck when he was 10. So what does this story have to do with what we're talking about today? Well, as Christians, we have a choice when we decide how we're going to go through life. We can just watch what other people do and follow them, or we can be taught by our Creator how to live. And God's Word is our instruction manual. We have a merciful Creator who gave us everything we need to know in order to live the kind of life He wants us to live. All we have to do is read it, you know, put it in our hearts, and then obey it. That's all. So in chapter 2, John is going to do some training for us. And he's going to give us 3 basic tests that we can use to make sure we're on the right path. I already put it up there. The test of obedience, walking in the light. The test of love, walking in love, and the test of truth, walking in the truth. So if we look at these tests, we can see for ourselves how we're doing in our faith walk. So this first part, 1-6, is the test of obedience. And what you need to know is this is tied to chapter 1. So this is kind of just flow right on through to that. So we looked a lot of this in chapter 1. Do you love how he begins this? "My dear children." In saying this, not only can you just feel how deeply he feels about this, but he's basically calling them his spiritual father. This is how important it is to him. These are his children in this. And he starts out so hopeful. You know, he says, "Let's don't sin. Come on, guys, let's just not sin." But he immediately follows that up because he knows that we're all human and that sin has a really powerful pull on us, and we are all going to sin because none of us are perfect. And so he goes on to tell us how to have victory over sin and how to get forgiveness when we inevitably do sin. And if you remember back from chapter 1, we believe as Christians that once we confess our sins, we are free of them. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 9. And let's face it, sinning is nothing more than disobedience. Now, many non-Christians believe that only the fear of punishment can keep a person from sinning or walking the line. But through the New Testament, we know that's not true. Our real motivator is obedience, not punishment. Because we know God will forgive us for our sins. So because we know that he has that deep, deep love for us and that he will forgive our sins, it gives us the feeling to want to obey. We have enough gratitude for what he has done for us and what he has given us that we want to be obedient. So John is telling us that we can be sure we know God if we obey. That's how we're going to learn who he is. We're going to obey his commands. Now, that's not that living a rigid code of laws. It's joyfully responding to God's will in our lives out of a sense of gratitude. And he's not talking about being perfect. We already know that. He knows we're sinners. He knows we're going to sin. But he's describing what he wants the basic direction and desire to be for us in our lives, to please God and to go God's way. That's what Jesus did, and Jesus did it perfectly. So he set our example. We have the perfect example before us of how to live our lives. Just follow Jesus. Jesus is our antidote to sin when we walk in the light. If you're walking in the light, you're not going to be sinning. And he's our advocate. It says that right there in the word. He's our advocate. Well, what is an advocate? The job of an advocate is to plead his client's case to the judge. Well, we're the client, and his father, God, is our judge. And he's right there in the middle, and he's advocating for us. But John also wants us to know that even though our sins are forgiven, that doesn't give us license to lead a sinful life. There is a difference between knowingly, willfully, continuously sinning and expecting that it's okay because, hey, he died for my sins, this is okay, versus what we all do every day, which is just slipping up, forgetting, doing something wrong. And confession is always the key when we sin, and then we'll be forgiven. So we need to search our hearts when we know we're sinning and turn from that sin. To know God and the power of his love is impossible without practical everyday observance of his word. We have to know the word to be able to know whether we're living the way he wants us to live or not. And once we do observe the word, then we need to translate it. We need to make it apply in our lives. That's why we practice applications here in this study. Because it's one thing to know his word. It's a completely other thing to turn it into something that you are doing in your own life. So first, don't sin. But when you do sin, confess your sin, turn away from your sin, and know that you are forgiven. So I put application/test questions since I said these are the tests that John wants us to ask ourselves. So ask yourself, how am I sinning? I think the best thing to do is just find some quiet space, quiet time, no distractions. Sit there and really humble yourself. Be open to hearing and ask the Holy Spirit to show you where your sins are. Now, some of us already are well aware of our sins. As Jan referred to them last week, I think, as our pet sins. So then the question I want you to ask yourself is, why am I clinging to that sin? Why am I not turning away from that sin? and then ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and then confess it, and then move forward. I don't think it's too much to practice this daily, because we know we all sin daily. So if it's something that you can work into your quiet time, I think it will be, let's just say eye-opening. So if we know that we're in fellowship with God through Christ, and we have no known sin in our lives, then we're heading on the right track. It's that known sin that we need to be aware of. Okay, so the next section is the test of love. Now, this can be a problem because our love for the world can and very often does interfere with our love for the Father. And we have these three main things that interfere. The desires of the flesh, which we can describe as those that are carnal, sexual sins, sensual, gluttonous, things like that. The desires of the eyes. These are the things we see that we want. I mean, that's just what it is, whether it's a house or jewelry or, you know, it's just those kinds of things. And then we have pride of life. And that's living for this life and not eternal life. And I have a little story that I want to share with you on this last one, this pride of life, because I think this is the one that's maybe sometimes a little harder to recognize. This is my grandson, Cooper. This was his first day of school. He started pre-K this year, and he has been so excited to go to big school that all summer long, he didn't even want to go to his other school. It was all about going to big school. So this was the first day. He got up at 6 o'clock in the morning and dressed himself, and they went to school. And he's a sweet little boy. Well, he's been in school about 3.5 weeks now, and his teacher sends home a little notebook every day, which is very common, I think, and it has stars. You get a star every day. Well, it depends on what color star you get. Okay? Green star means you had a good day. A yellow star means you had some oopsies. And a red star means you had 3 or more oopsies. Well, Cooper's been struggling a little bit with this. And we laugh, Haley and I, his mom and I laugh, because he's 4. But I think this is the side of Cooper that his teacher sees. It's that, and the teacher says, look, don't worry about it. But so Haley's talked to the teacher a lot, and the teacher said, here's the problem. He's a sweet, sweet boy, but he's struggling with my authority. So I was talking to him, because he calls me and he tells me, and he'll say, hey, Mama, I got a red star today. And he says it just like that. He's not shy about telling me. I said, oh, Cooper, what happened? And then he tells me. So last week I asked him, I said, Cooper, why don't you do what your teacher tells you to do? And without hesitating, he said, Mama, I want to do what I want to do. Out of the mouths of babes, right? Because that's what that pride of life is. I want to do what I want to do. And that's what we all do day in and day out. So there's a problem with that, because that's how society lives, but that's not how we're told to live. And so John talks about the old commandment and the new commandment, and that kind of confused some people. Think of it as the old and the continuation, because the old commandment was love one another, and the new commandment after Jesus came is as I have first loved you. So there is a, once again, God does not throw us in to sink or swim. He gives us the perfect example. And that's what that is. That's the perfect example. So we hear that we can't have any hatred towards anyone in our hearts and still love God. So I want to talk for just a minute about the word hatred, because I think this is one of those really heavily charged, loaded words. And it sounds so extreme, and it makes people so uncomfortable that we rarely use it to describe anything. Unless we're saying, I hate peas, you know, something like that. But we don't really use it as hatred. But I think we need to use that word because that's the word that's in Scripture. And putting a candy coating on it does not make it any less true or any less sinful. In verse 11, it says, if we have any hatred in our hearts, we are walking around in the darkness. And I know from my own personal experience that that's true. That's exactly what happens. Because I spent a good chunk of my life stuck in a situation that left me feeling angry and hurt, unsupported, and basically hating another person. Now, I didn't call it that at the time because, oh, that just sounded way too awful. But I can tell you this. That's what it was. Now, I can also tell you I was going to church every Sunday. I was going to a Bible study every week. And I was teaching a Sunday school class on Sundays during this time when I was walking in the darkness. I had let this situation push me into the darkness. And in a weird way, I can look back now and see that I was clinging to that hatred. It had become something that I needed to hold on to and maybe even loved in a weird kind of way. It gave me what I felt like was some power in a situation where I was powerless. Until I woke up one day and realized it was not giving me power. The only way I was going to have any power was to turn it over to God and to let go of that hatred that I was carrying around in my heart. Because God is the only one who has the power to change a heart. So I had to forgive this person, first of all, which wasn't easy. But what was even harder was I had to learn to love this person. And I can honestly say I do now, many years later. But it didn't happen all at once. But when it did happen, it was like the light was turned on. And for the first time in literally 15 years, I realized that I was finally walking in the light and I was not stumbling around in the darkness. I had finally restored my relationship with my Creator. Now, I know my story is not unusual. And what I would say is, if there's anyone in here who's struggling with something like that, you have my heart. We are not equipped to handle this, ladies. We have to turn it over to our Creator. But I will say there is help here. And I would love to talk to you if you want to talk to someone about it. Not because I will have any answers for you, because I won't. I can point you to Scripture. But I can hold your hand, and I can tell you how much you're loved. And I can pray with you. So just know that. Know that there are plenty of people in this room who are here for you and pulling for you. Because, believe it or not, we can love every single person that we come in contact with. Okay, so now let's get to the section that lets all of us, I think, squirm a little bit. And it should, because it's a real gut check. And that's the part that says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, I want to make something really clear right from the beginning on this. God wants us to have good things. He created everything that is good. But he doesn't want us to put those good things before him. That's where the difficulty comes in. If we have worked hard and if we have been rewarded in life with good things, that's not a bad thing. But use those good things, enjoy those good things, and most importantly, share those good things, because you have them by the grace of God. So don't feel guilty about it. Enjoy it, and enjoy it with open hands, because it is a gift from God. And by all means, do not ever let it take the place of God or become more important than God. Because when we get so focused on things of this world, we forget our Father. And the things in this world are temporary. We talk about this all the time. Even the good things can become a problem if they interfere with our relationship with our Father. So even, you know, our good relationships, I'll give you a perfect example. I woke up yesterday morning and I thought of something else I wanted to add to this lecture, right? I mean, this is a good thing. This is a Bible study. So I got up and I went straight in and opened my computer and started doing that. That's not what I do. What I do in the morning is I get up and I go straight upstairs and I have my quiet time. And I didn't do that. And I didn't realize that I didn't do that until several hours into my day. I let a good thing come between me and my relationship with my Father. So it can be really tricky. You just have to pay attention. So basically what we're talking about here, when we talk about things of the world and loving things of the world, we're really just talking about anything that becomes a priority in your life over the priority of having a relationship with our Father. Okay, let's see. So here's the test question. Do a gut check. Take a really hard look at what is separating you from God. Might be material wealth. It might be relationships. Grandchildren. And then just ask yourself, do I live a life of love for my Creator, and do I share that plentiful life with His children? Okay, the last section, the test of truth. So we learned in our intro to this study that John is using this letter to respond to the false teachings of the day. Well, guess what? Here we are, 2,000 years later, and nothing has changed. We still have false teachers. They are all around us. Some of them are really obvious, and some of them are not. Some of them are in churches. Some of them are people who at one time were true believers that have somehow veered slightly off path. They've started in putting their own things into things that should have been scriptural. So what do we do about it? Well, we know God reveals Himself to us in His Word. His Word is always true. So as believers, we must be Spirit-taught personally through the Word. You should never rely 100% on other people to teach you, whether it's in a Bible study or going to church. You just never should, because there's always going to be human error. That includes me. That includes Jan. Listen, if I ever say anything up here that makes anyone in here feel like I have strayed, I want 100% for you to come, maybe not right in the middle of the lecture, but come up here and talk to me about it. Because we have to hold each other accountable to what the Scripture says. The truth is that you don't need someone else to study the Word. That's why we switched to inductive Bible study. Every Christian can pick up the Bible and learn what God wants him or her to do in their lives. Because we have the Holy Spirit in us who helps us interpret the Word. If we spend time in the Word, the Holy Spirit will show us how to use it. Y'all are in here, which is great. If you've done your study for this week, even better. I would encourage you to really spend time daily in the Word learning for yourself. How many times have you heard a story in the Bible? Maybe you've heard it a dozen times in your life. And all of a sudden you hear it and it has a whole new meaning for you. You just go, oh my gosh, I never heard that. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's what He will do to every single one of us. He will teach us if we are consistent and we stay in the Word. It's just about being committed. We live in a world where truth is subjective. But remember, ladies, we are not of the world, and therefore our truth is not subjective. Our truth is God's Word, period. So our last application test question is, do I believe and practice the truth as He has taught me through His Word? Every week, someone will stand up here and give you a lecture. Might be me, might be Jan, might be someone else. But my hope is that this time right here becomes the least important time during your week and at Lamplighters. There's nothing wrong with it. You'll get good information. We do a lot of studying. That's all good. Do not rely on this, is what I'm saying, because you will be cheating yourself. God has His truth for you, and you're going to find it when you get in the Word on your own. So do your lesson. Come to your small group. Have your heart open, ready to share, because that's what community in God is. That's sharing. That's learning from each other and with each other. So I'm going to wrap this all up with a neat little bow, which I rarely do, but this one was easy. Obey the Word, love God's people, and believe the truth, which is His Word. Whenever sin enters your life, immediately confess it and claim God's forgiveness for yourself. Spend time in the Word, learning the truth, and letting the truth lead you. And continue to respond by faith with repentance and obedience, and most of all, perseverance. Let's pray. Father, I ask You today to be with these women as they go into their small groups. I ask You to open their hearts to Your truth. I ask that the Holy Spirit be felt in every room and in every heart, and that we can just praise You that You are not a God who has left us to our own devices. And that Your Holy Spirit urges each one of us to use what You have given us, which is Your Word and Your truth, to live each day and to go out and to walk in the light. And I ask this in Your Son's name. Amen.